everyone. Welcome back to Just a VR Show. I'm Livy, and today I'm going to be doing part two of our Designing for VR series. Today I'm going to talk about input in VR and then go into a little bit of the things you want to consider when you're testing your environments and doing quality assurance on your experience. So to recap in part one, we talked about building environments for VR. And the key points from that is you want to maximize the presence that a user is feeling. You want to avoid forcing the player into movement that is not natural for them. You want to be creative with how you're using menu and UI elements, and you don't want to make the player sick. With that out of the way, we're going to dive into the different types of input that you can use for your virtual reality environments. Depending on whether or not you're building for a mobile VR headset, a desktop headset, a console-based headset, your experience is going to be a little bit different from platform to platform, and the types of input that a user has available to them may also be different. Input's really important in VR because it lets the user interact with things rather than just watch them. So we're going to cover six different types of interactions that a user may find in virtual reality and may have support for, and talk a little bit about how the experience differs from one to another. The first one is something that basically every headset is going to offer you, and that's the concept of gaze tracking. This is essentially tracking the center point of a screen in an application where the user is kind of facing, and it's the lowest common denominator across all virtual reality devices. You don't need additional peripheral devices to do because this can be calculated based on the position of the headset itself, and it follows the device assuming the center point is the center focus. This is frequently used as a pointing device, similar as a mouse would. So if the user is kind of looking around different areas of the screen, the idea of the gaze tracking is that it will find the center point to know what the player is looking at any given time. With this, you may have something as simple as a look and hold, and that can be used as like a 5 second, oh, they've stared at the same thing for 5 seconds, we're going to click on this. Along the kind of gaze interactions is an integrated input idea, and this is additional input capabilities that different devices will implement differently, but will provide a little bit of an extra layer on top of that for additional input. Examples of this include something like the Gear VR touchpad, which provides a directional pad and kind of a couple of other tap gestures, a back button, things that are built into the headset that you can utilize in your application that other devices may or may not implement their own versions of. The simplest kind of one that you can see this for is the cardboard magnet, which lets you do a click gesture without having to implement any of the calculations on how long have they been looking at a specific object. With that, the magnet pull represents, okay, I'm going to do something now with this action based on the focus of the gaze input. And then other headsets like the Fove headset actually has some pupil tracking involved. So instead of just figuring out where the gaze is of the user can trigger additional capabilities to track very specific pupil movement across the screen so you're not limited to whatever they're looking at in the center. One of the most common input devices that we're already really familiar with is the idea of the controller. This can map different axes in your game to one or more joysticks that can be exported across the huge range of potential controller options. So, you know, if you're building for a desktop or a console-based virtual reality system, you may have a wired controller that the player uses. If you're building for mobile, they may be able to connect specific Bluetooth type devices that are either controllers or they may be specialized controllers. As I mentioned, some of these are standard things that you may already have experienced, like an Xbox controller, and some of them may be specialized, like the Oculus Touch hand controllers or the HTC Vive controllers, which are special devices that have a lot of the same functionality as a traditional controller, but are specifically designed to be two-handed and to interact with the devices that they are paired with. Kind of along, but not mentioned explicitly in the slides with controllers, are the idea of keyboard and mouse input with desktop-based VR, where you have this kind of input-output device that is pretty standard and something that users would already have available to them. Going past kind of physical gesture or physical controllers that a user may have, you also have this idea of gestures. This captures specific movement of hands or the rest of the body through specialized cameras and can be used to kind of do a pass-through of kind of whatever the player is doing with their hands or the rest of their body into your application and can either control things that way or can interact with the environment specifically towards however the player is using. Like if they reach out and grab something or if they're knocking blocks off, even without that physical contact, it allows the user to see a direct reaction from what they're doing in the physical world. This could be something that's full body like the Kinect, or it could be something specialized for hands only like the Leap Motion controller that's seen here. When you want to have that physical touch feedback though, you're going to want to look at different haptic devices. This provides physical feedback from the virtual objects that a player can interact with, and it's much closer to mimicking real world behaviors and sensations. This can be done as kind of an input and an output device where the user can wear a haptic device and then knock over virtual objects, and it can also be used as kind of an output device to give the user physical feedback that they've collided into something or that they've hit something. This is a really interesting area of VR kind of input, but this and what we'll talk about in the next slide are still kind of, they're not ready for prime time. These types of devices are really specialized and they're hard to get right. You don't want to kind of mess around with and go halfway on haptics because it's even closer to what the user's doing in a physical world. And if that's not lining up the way the user would expect, that kind of breaks that presence and that disconnect. So with the haptics, it's really cool and there's a lot of great potential here, but it's not quite ready to be integrated into mainstream applications just yet. Kind of along those lines is the idea of using a brain-computer interface to interact with your virtual environment. We've started to see this come into play with different types of devices that can measure specific electric inputs of the brain waves and be used to do like really simple tasks, kind of like jump or forward. And you can kind of, it's bulky to wear that with a VR headset right now. As I mentioned, it's not quite ready for prime time, but you get this really interesting kind of set of devices that are on their way to being pretty powerful for the user to just kind of think and control the environment that they're in. They have a lot of potential right now, and you can get different devices now to play around with them and start training to your own brain and kind of do a little bit of that, but it's not something that people are going to have commonly, and you probably don't want to rely on this as your only input if you're building a virtual reality application today. So just a couple more things to go into around kind of input, the whole designing for VR experience, the whole ecosystem, is how you go about planning this experience and making sure that you're building your application in a way that it really lends itself nicely to the platform of choice that you have. So your early considerations for building a VR application is, one, input should be a key component of planning your experience right from the get-go. What you do not want to do is build out an entire application and then think, okay, how are the users going to do these different actions now? And I know this firsthand because I made that mistake when I first started building my own VR experiences. For those of you who haven't seen it, I developed a game called Kitten Collector, Kitten VR, that lets you run around and play and collect kittens. And I built the entire application with the keyboard and mouse and then started thinking, okay, cool, so how do I port this? And it turns out it's a lot harder to go in and retroactively start playing around with the gameplay when I didn't really fully think through the different types of input that I wanted to be able to support. So I had to spend a lot of time going back in and refactoring different parts of the Kitten VR in order to make it playable on different platforms that may or may not have a keyboard and mouse input. So you want to start thinking about that right off the bat when you're thinking about how a user is going to be using your application. You're going to want to consider a target platform and start with that. As I mentioned with Kitten VR, I built that as a desktop VR experience, so the keyboard and mouse worked pretty well with it. And then I wanted to put it on mobile VR and immediately ran into this issue with things like, how is a user going to select the kittens to collect them if they don't have a click option? How are they going to move around if they don't have a controller? And it makes the whole game not just harder to build, but also usually a little bit less immersive if you have to go in and the user's obviously making compromises on the gameplay. So you want to pick your target platform and focus on that to start with. I am not saying that you can't have really great cross-platform experiences, because you absolutely can, but it's something that you need to be thinking about during the entire development process of your VR application. Lastly, you want to design your application to make use of the target platform's specific capabilities. If you're building for a device like Fove that has gaze tracking, you're going to want to use that. You're going to want to kind of enhance your gameplay or your application around the different capabilities that specific devices may offer, especially if you're doing things like exclusive content or if you have kind of a really unique gameplay type style for your application. So if you're going into your application and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to build a mobile VR application, you get the standard gaze-based kind of input with that, but you are also kind of likely to have either a single button trigger like the magnet on the cardboard, or maybe a small Bluetooth controller. A lot of headsets will actually come with a Bluetooth controller shipped with them, like this one does here. And it may not be a full game controller, but you get the kind of basics of a joystick and a couple of buttons that the player can use to interact with your experience. If you're building for desktop, you tend to have a little bit more flexibility with what types of devices the user may have, because the PC is more likely to be able to support a wide range of Bluetooth and wired devices that you could use. So you have the standard gaze-based input. If you're building a desktop application, it's pretty safe to assume that everyone will have a keyboard and a mouse, so you can kind of assume that that's something that's safe to use as well in your app. But you also get this really interesting range of the peripherals that we kind of talked about earlier. Basically any USB controller, a specialized USB controller, haptics, brain computer interfaces, all of those that can connect to your computer, you kind of have at your disposal. But you also have really interesting things like the Virtuix Omni treadmill that it's shown here, where the player may actually have a setup that lets them completely interact with something that you're building in a totally different way than, you know, another user might have. So with desktop input, you have a lot more variety, but you also have to make sure that your application can adapt to the different types of input that people may have for their specific setups. When it comes to testing in VR, my favorite quote that I've heard about this from Oculus Connect is, QA for virtual reality cannot be a one-person job. As I mentioned in part one of designing for VR, you will have a huge range of people who are playing with and testing your software and using your software. And this is the first time that that really comes into play with how well your experience kind of adapts to different player types and different user types. I said this once before already, and I'll say it again. When you're building a website, it doesn't matter how tall the person reading that web page is, but in VR it does. So you want to make sure that with the experience factors, you test against a large variety of people who have different physical characteristics, but also different life experiences. One example that I've heard talked about before is if you're playing a game where you're expected your user to know where to find hidden objects. Some users who have maybe you hide something in a cash register, people who haven't ever done any kind of retail experience may completely miss that that's even like something they can open because they've never been in that mindset of like, oh, let me open the cash register and poke around in there a little bit. So you want to make sure that you're not only your environment is comfortable for a wide range of users physically, but also that it's playable for a bunch of different people with different experiences. And you also want to make sure that the users are having their expectations met. If you have some objects in your scene that you can pick up and move around, and the user is expecting everything to be that way, you want to make sure that their experience isn't kind of broken or made bad by their expectations not of what they can do not being met in your application. So kind of along those experience factors, you know, all of these really just kind of lend themselves to, are the users comfortable and are they present? And this is going to be different for a whole bunch of different people. What one person experiences as full presence in a VR app may be totally different from what someone else does. And that's why when you kind of send these VR applications out into the world, you want to make sure you've tested against the diverse user base, because you're going to have a diverse user base actually playing your game and your application. So you want to make sure that that's something that a lot of people experience rather than just a small group of people who use your applications have tested. And you want to make sure that you're getting a really diverse user pool, because it matters a lot in VR applications. And then lastly, something that's a little bit less related to design but more on the technical side is your application experience optimized and running fast enough? With VR, if you start to have a lot of performance hits and you're running your application at 30 frames per second, that's not going to be a good experience for the user. They're going to know that that's not a natural feeling. It's going to make them sick. So as part of your QA testing, and again, not on the design and human factors side, but just on the overall experience side, is this optimized? Is it running well? And are the users comfortable? A few final thoughts on developing and designing for VR around some do's and don'ts with your application. Do get ready to experiment. Virtual reality as a consumer technology is really in its early stages right now, and there's a lot of really kind of interesting things that we think work and then totally don't, and things that we think are not going to work at all and then end up being kind of the best in class experience for virtual reality. So you want to make sure that you're really willing to experiment, iterate often, frequently, and you want to make sure that you're getting feedback from a large group of users throughout that process. You want to design for the medium, and you want to make sure that you're optimizing for one thing at a time so you're not releasing suboptimal experiences just to get out on every single platform. A couple of things that you don't want to do, as I've mentioned, you don't want to make the user sick. Sick users are unhappy users, and that is not good for anyone. You want to not force a behavior on a user because that goes back to the making them sick, but also nobody really wants to be a robot in VR. Well, they probably do. I'd love to be a robot in VR, but you don't want to be a robot in the sense that their actions have no virtual kind of considerations with them. You want to make sure that the user isn't just kind of being dragged along and forced into different experiences, because the really big key kind of offering that VR has is being able to be yourself and interact in those environments. When you're designing, you don't want to get married to any one idea. You will have a ton of different things that you need to play with and experiment with to see what works best, because best practices in VR are established and then changed and then reestablished, and there's just a lot of stuff that's constantly evolving and changing as the different platforms support different functionality. So don't get stuck on one idea that you're unwilling to let go of, because it may be working really badly with your users, and you're going to want to be flexible enough to change that as you get more feedback and get more information available to you. You don't want to try to stick to every single rule of game development. There's a lot of similarities between building a VR application and building a video game, but there's also a lot of little differences that you want to take into consideration. So don't necessarily assume that anything that works in a traditional video game will have just right out of the box work in VR. A common example of this is the idea of a first-person shooter. If you just copy a first-person shooter that exists right now for, say, Xbox over and build it for a PC with an Xbox controller, the experience isn't going to work well. The user is going to have to make this kind of weird connection between the game that they're familiar with and this new kind of way of playing it. A first-person shooter on a console tends to be super fast-paced and kind of jarring with how quickly the user's turning their heads. You have the joystick head turns. It doesn't map to the physical actions of the user. So you don't want to necessarily just take every existing video game and bring all those principles into your VR game. That's not to say that some of them don't work really nicely. They do. But again, it's a lot of experimentation, trial, error, and playing around with different things. And then lastly, you don't want to treat all VR platforms the same, because as I've mentioned with the input, just the different device capabilities, what your experience looks like on one VR application may end up being pretty different if you're running it on a desktop versus a mobile phone. Aside from the hardware differences, the optimizations that are needed, the input available, and even the types of users who may buy one headset versus the other, you can't treat every single VR device the exact same and build one application and just expect it to be perfect on all of them. So make sure that as you're building your VR application, you're taking that into consideration and you're kind of playing around with it and seeing what works for one thing versus another application. But ultimately, right now is the time to play. VR is coming in. 2016 is the year of VR for the probably second or third year in a row. But I think that this time it's really going to be there because we're landing those consumer devices. And it's never been a better time to just start playing around. If you like to experiment and try new things and play and just get a whole different sense of this new immersive computing, like, now's a great time to just go out there, build something, break the rules, try something new. It's a great time to be experimenting with that. And I hope that you'll all join me on this super cool adventure with VR in 2016.